shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Nordgren. And
with us today is a fantastic visual artist. It's Lori Landry. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Hi, Lori.
So excited to be here.
Yay.
Yay, podcast. Yeah, Lori, you're also deaf. We were going to talk a little bit about some accessibility stuff and podcasts. And one of the first questions that I had for you that we were chatting about today was like, what kind of media do you like to consume and how do you like to do it? Because you love TV and movies. Like, what are your favorite things? We'll get into that.
First of all, I just want to note the irony of me doing a podcast.
did not escape us.
Which is probably the least accessible for a deaf person.
Absolutely. I thought about that driving over. Driving must be really boring when you're deaf or hard of hearing, because there's not much you can do to accentuate the process. Like, you can't really listen. So you can't, like, watch something while you're driving.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. We were driving over here, and I was just like, it's hard because I want to face you and talk.
Yes.
And so that you can read my lips. But then I'm like, I have to also look at the road. And so we were quiet for most of the time.
One of the common questions I've had was, can you drive? And I'm like, I'm deaf, not blind.
Yeah. Or, but it has nothing to do with me being deaf. I'm just bad at driving.
Yeah. But the thing about driving is, you can only talk to me during stops.
Yeah.
And you have to be quick about it. because if I'm driving, I'm like, putting my finger up. Wait. Okay. We're at the stop sign. Did I get you today? So for road trips, though, I'm probably the best person to not talk to. So put on the music loud. I do want. And good.
If you want like a companionable road trip kind of buddy.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just gonna chill.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a bit about the media. I totally jumped in there and asked a different question. So what do you like to watch?
I pretty much like to watch anything that has captioning. So pretty much any Netflix shows, because they're great with captioning stuff.
Yeah, you can actually get captioning on everything. I have to.
I just finished watching Gone Girl yesterday.
Gone Girl?
Gone Girl, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Gone Girl with
Ben Affleck?
No. Gone Girl with what's wrong with Sanga Signs.
Oh, Scandal.
Yeah.
With Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I love that show.
Scandal. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I heard Gone Girl too.
I stopped watching Scandal because I just couldn't get over what a weenie the president is. He's just such a wiener. Like, what a dumb wiener.
It's just weird.
Yeah. It's weird how the president can be a dumb wiener. It's such a fiction for the president to be a stupid wiener.
I mean, I like the fact that you've got this black woman so powerful. And that didn't know. You can just walk into the president's quarters.
Yeah. She just like jumps into
What are you doing?
And everybody's like, this is normal. This is what happens here.
Yeah.
I haven't watched anything from Shondaland.
Kerry Washington.
I like Grey's Anatomy as well.
You like the drama.
Yeah.
Live for the drama.
Yeah, for the drama.
Right. You're a drama mama.
Drama queen.
Yeah. In Scandal, Kerry Washington just has the best coats ever. All of her beautiful, beautiful coats. I just want every single coat.
Yeah, and the way her hair bounty rocked the back. Determination is like, oh God.
She's going to conquer the world, basically.
Yeah.
I wish I could walk in high heels like that. Yeah. I have a really hard time with it.
Oh,
plus, I'm very tall already, so it's not really fair.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got other stories that I like to watch. Movies? I mean, I'm a big fan of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to next weekend.
For Black Panther?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that it looks so good.
Yeah. Looks so pretty.
I'm very excited. Yes, pretty. It is a very attractive cast.
Yeah, well, and the scenery looks beautiful, too. I was looking at some previews.
But, yeah.
Some trailer thing, and it just looks like just absolutely beautiful. Mm. My friend posted something about the costume design.
Yeah.
And how, like, all they wanted to really show that, like, Africa is incredibly diverse. It's not just one big thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, all the different, like, nations and tribes and things like that in the movie are based on, like, real tribes in Africa. And so they, like, you know, took elements of, like, beadwork on one costume and, like, colors and, I don't know, it just looks so, like, what a feast for the eyes.
In the comic days, when they developed Wakanda, they brought in Rasange.
Oh, cool.
And I can't remember how you pronounce the guy's name. Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, yeah. Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Ta-Nehisi. Yeah, I don't actually know how to pronounce it either.
We're bad.
I'm terrible. But, you can spell it, though.
But when they get the world building for Wakanda, the idea was imagine a country that has never been decimated by slavery, civil war, stuff like an actual thriving country, and that was, like, that's what they came up with. And then, of course, they translated back to the movie as well.
Cool.
Yeah, so imagine a country that had never been touched by slavery, colonialism, or anything. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could have been the country. Yeah? So that would be interesting.
Yeah, sort of sad that we have to go to fantasy to see that. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, colonialism was a big thing and still is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was at the rally yesterday.
Oh,
we have
for
Colton Bushy. Yeah, so it was very, very dark, very powerful, very rage.
A lot of rage.
And they're right. You know, how can we have reconciliation when we can't even have justice? For the Aboriginal people, Indigenous people,
Unfortunately, like, you know, folks that I know have been tweeting about it and whatever, and just so many people are coming for them in the comments, like, just racist assholes, like, well, what do you expect? Like, what, you don't care about our due process and it's the law and whatever, and it's just like, you guys are maybe not actually the same people that would be mad about, you know, any kind of shooting of a black person in the States, but a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's better here in Canada. And it's like, no, we've got exactly the same bullshit.
Have you ever been to Regina? Like, no, it's not. It's more here.
Yeah, right?
In fact, the institutionalized racism in Canada is the model for South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's the model for Australia. And it's the model for the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we invented this institutionalized racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea that, like, the assimilationist ideas. It's very, we're not great, Canada. Real bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It gets so sad when people get nationalistic around me because I have to be like, well, actually, Canada's bad.
Yeah.
I don't care about Justin Trudeau's stupid socks.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, we need to recognize our role, you know, in the history.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't just pick and choose, you know? Our role. Like, we can't say we're the good people. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to, you know, actually acknowledge the bad things that we've done, you know, in order to move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we can't do that, then, you know, we'll hope today. Yeah.
That's the truth part in the truth and reconciliation, right?
Yeah.
It's like you have to lay bare all of that and be like, fuck, that was awful, and we need to make up for that.
And
you can't just apologize if you don't know what you're apologizing for.
People have so much trouble when it comes to blame.
There's the lag that we need to do, education. And we're still in the truth days, really. Yeah. And people don't want a basic truth. Or people just want to do it. That was a long time ago, time to get over it.
Yeah, for some reason, it always has to be like marginalized people who have to get over something, right? Like, we don't ever have to get over 9/11 or whatever. It's just...
Yeah.
Oh, 9/11. It's
Well, 9 minutes into the podcast,
and we're already yeah. mad, already sad.
Well, there's a lot of bad shit happening in the world yeah. right now, but
yeah,
I mean, but Black Panther is coming out next weekend, so we have yeah. that to look forward to.
My grandmother, actually, and my dad, Dag, is First Nation. Someone's a Catherine. But my dad had chosen not to acknowledge.
Oh, okay.
Like, he rejects that part of the family. So he calls himself First Nation, and that's what we have on, you know? But I know that.
That's you know, part I of have, your heritage, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, exactly.
Background.
And if my dad says, no, it's not part of our house anymore, kind of have to respect that in a way.
He's yeah. from a generation that's like being any kind of Indigenous is like, ugh, let's not yeah. embrace that at all. Like, because it's, you can yeah. see how people are treated, so let's yeah. take that out or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he kind of explained that he's done being bullied, you know, being bullied as a kid, you mm-hmm. know, has a big factor on it. So,
wow.
Yeah. You know, so in a way, it is part of his
experience.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And so, I mean, I would love to find out where my grandmother came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when, you know, when they won't tell you anything, then yeah. you kind of have to kind of respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, one of these days, I want to take a road trip. You know, just go to Saskatchewan and meet.
Yeah.
You know, like, see for myself. Yeah.
Did you read there's the local city councillor, Andrea Reimer, had sort of a similar experience recently where she kind of found out that she had First
yeah,
Nations background
that
and some family from either Alberta or Saskatchewan like reached out and found her.
Yeah.
And so there was a big thing about like, she's like, I've lived my whole life as a white person
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what, like, I've always felt like I had really close ties to Indigenous
yeah.
practice, but like never really put them together. And it's really cool to like find this missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, how much do you claim of that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so it really, a lot of folks were saying like that the community kind of claimed her back as a really big thing,
mm-hmm.
Rather than
yeah.
her trying to go in and be like, I'm one of you now, hooray!
Yeah,
and they're
exactly.
just like,
it's really annoying because, you know, for education, for grant writing and everything, you know, everybody's saying, oh, well, you should do that. And
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
you're an artist,
no,
you're like, oh,
no,
can I, what
no.
can I add?
No, because for one thing, I'm taking away
mm-hmm.
from other people's legitimate,
yeah.
you know, access to, you know, grant to tell their stories or, you know, in education. I really don't want to go to university anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I tried, but it was like, you know, not for me because...
Yeah, you don't have to go to university to do art, that's for sure.
But I went to Emily Carr. First semester, actually, and I kind of dropped out. This was back in the 80s, 1985. So
Back then,
it was all about installation. Yeah? Painting is dead. Forget painting. It's all about installation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
It's all about Tracy Emin's bed and stuff like that.
What's that?
Oh, you've never heard of The Bed?
No.
Oh, it's an installation art piece of a bed she was, like, sick and had a lot of sex in and stuff. And so it's just a lot of detritus around
yeah.
the bed. It's, like, you're supposed to get, like, an idea of, like, the experience of living as this person who... I think she had, like, bipolar disorder
okay.
or something like that. So it's just, like, this was during a particularly bad part of my life. This is what my bed looked like.
Okay.
Here's my art, which is amazing.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
But it also is the thing that a lot of people who, like, that's not art.
Yeah.
You know, that's not art, so... I guess it came back to bite installation in the ass because everybody
yeah.
thinks it's stupid now.
Well, you know, I have no objections against installation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, every card is played. And, you know, and I've seen some wonderful installation pieces, you know, that really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name them, though. So, but I know the Vancouver Gallery had an installation a few years ago. And it was just like this piece of black fabric
okay.
that was hung up against the ceiling and it was stretched out. So it almost like a rubber.
Okay.
Rubber like material then with black. But it was just, you know, it's hard to describe it, but but the how the installation is, the use of space.
Uh-huh.
The use of light.
Yeah.
So you during the looking at something, the light and space around the installation piece gives it a lot of dimension.
Right, and you should be able to move around it and see different aspects of it.
In fact, right now, if you go to Vancouver Art Gallery with Murakami.
Right now, right this second.
Yeah, go to Murakami, I love it. But there is this room. He's been doing a lot of happy faces, daisy faces, and really happy.
Just like cheerful people and whatever in his paintings.
But then he's been moving towards something that was a little more spirituality, Japanese spirituality. So he's been doing quite a few new paintings. Mm-hmm. And then there's two installations of monks. Oh, but cool. They're cool. They're really cool. But the how the space is you, how the light is you, it's just wonderful. It's a good example.
That's pretty cool. It must be difficult to tour with installation work because like every space is so different. So how do you set up for light and things like
that? Well, the Murakami built the
Whole set exhibition for it.
Specifically for Vancouver Art Gallery.
Oh, cool.
He knew what he was doing. So I think maybe there'll be a room. It's like he knows what the Vancouver Art Gallery setup is like, and he designed it. So it was really interesting.
That seems pretty fun, actually.
Fun. Art's kind of amazing.
It's happy. It's the happiest of everything.
Cool.
I'll definitely go look at it. I've been invited. A couple of people told me I should go.
Because you like Murakami stuff.
Just go.
In general, don't you?
Is it the same as the author? Or is it a different artist? Because there's...
Murakami?
There's the novelist.
Different artist.
I don't actually know the visual artist.
Okay.
This is new to me. I'm actually, my art education is pretty meager, to say the least. Like, I didn't get a lot of visual arts education. I just know about stuff that I've read. Let's say, if it was something scandalous, like Piss Christ or something like that. or the, whatever it was, is it Christoph, who they do the fabric installations that are just massive? Yes. Like husband and wife team that used to do that. And just millions of dollars worth of fabric probably all over this stuff. And so I know a little bit about it. If anybody has ever said something about it online that it looks stupid or this isn't art or my kid could do that, then I've heard about it. Oh, wow.
I just pulled up a picture. The exhibition is called Octopus Eats Its Own Leg.
Oh, okay. I've heard about this.
So that appeals to Katie's sensibilities in terms of her love of sea creatures anyway. Oh, it's very colorful. That's very fun. Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely go check
you
that.
You talk about art appreciating. August Duncan, Canada, I've been to Paris a couple of times, and the art appreciation in Europe is just amazing. And I've been to New York a couple of times, and I found that the art appreciation there is amazing too. And when I come in Vancouver, it's like, where's the art appreciation?
Is it, when you say art appreciation, is it like how many people go to things, or how they interact with the pieces, or
how literate are cultural literacy. You got people reading books, I think the literacy needs to start in preschool, in order for people to grow and appreciate art and culture. Like when you pick up a newspaper at the art and cultural section, it's about celebrity news and movies. Maybe a play or two. Maybe a concert, but if it's a concert, it's usually a big name concert.
They never really are talking about art exhibitions or dance performance or any of these things.
Unless it's at the Royal Ballet or something like that. So, I think you're right. I was talking with my wife about this today, about the Suzuki method of instrument learning, which I assume you know plenty about. And just how much it relies on nurturing curiosity in children, and teaching things to them that are age appropriate, that they can process, that they can understand, based on their level of development. And I think if we could do that in the same way with art in preschool, there is a certain amount that they can appreciate. You could show you know, if you show a Vermeer to a small child, they might not care, but
no,
like...
No, but good enough.
But something like that, like the Murakami art, they could be like, wow, that's crazy, or something, you know? Like, that's
exactly.
That's something that they can look at and just have an emotional experience with.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember crying at a painting when I was a kid, just because it was something about it made me so sad.
Yeah.
So, it's feasible. Like, it's possible for little kids to get this stuff.
I wonder if that would also help, like... They're trying to do in school roots of empathy and other kinds of ways of connecting with, you know, their classmates so that kids don't bully each other and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, that could be another way to teach that kind of empathy and, like, getting in touch with your emotions as a
little kid. What is
the artist
thinking? What does the artist feel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That kind of thing. That's very interesting. I think that's a really cool
idea. It's funny. Just recently on Facebook, I saw a video of the of this damn guy having a talk at the UN.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was for education, children development and everything. But basically he was talking about education, like what needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in an automation world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and
computers are taking over jobs.
Yeah.
Computers are taking over technology. You know, so we're going to get to a point where and education now is still focused on
getting people into the workforce, like factory style almost, or like
they're training people to go for a job that are not going to exist once they finish school.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thinking about education needs to change, and that empathy. Okay, think about what machine can do.
Yeah,
empathy. Even though they're trying to come up with computers that robot that can
they're so scary looking.
Even though they're developing robot that can fear, but we have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We can reason. I mean, computers can do the logical. If this, then this.
But they don't have the nuance. Around context and things like that. I'm hitting all of our favorite words today.
As usual.
So it's like empathy, logical thinking, reason. Yeah, especially reason. If we don't change the education to, focus on that, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because, how can we... How can we compete with
robots?
Robots.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole thing in like higher education training where people are really wanting folks with like emotional intelligence because so many types of work environments are team-based now.
Yes.
But people are coming out of school, especially in like the tech sector or something, with like all of this extremely focused knowledge on like a very intricate piece, but then they don't actually know how to work with other people
at all.
Yeah. So then like folks that I've heard from are saying things like, you know, we would hire somebody that has an arts degree and does coding on the side because they think it's fun rather than someone that's gone to school and has their master's in computer science or whatever. Because we want someone that has emotional intelligence or EQ kind of stuff. Like, and I think that's, I would love to see more of that, like, emotional intelligence stuff taught because it's not, you know, when I was going through a process where I had to hire some folks recently. And we were looking, like, how do we test for emotional intelligence? So you give people different scenarios and you see how they react and whatever. And then you kind of say stuff like, well, you know, you can't teach people this, but you can teach them this. And so we want someone with, like, more innate qualities that you can't teach. They're intangible. They're soft skills. But I'm like, you can totally teach that stuff. But, like, when they're younger, I think, like, in kids and teenagers and stuff to have that.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence.
It's like, hard to teach a 32-year-old computer programmer that women are people who have, like, a rich inner life. They're like, no, they don't. No, they like shoes. The TV told me. Oh, God, guys. I think you're right, though, about the progression towards a more... like a more emotionally intelligent workplace, even in tech, because Tessa finally got a job offer.
Yay!
That's my wife. That is at a place that also has a queer woman as her boss, which is very exciting. And they really, I think, picked her based on her personality because she was in competition with two other people with the same credentials. And I think ultimately they really wanted somebody who came across as very warm and human in the interview, and she is extremely human. So yeah, I think that that was a really big part. Like, we just want your personality with our team, you know? Like, your technical skills are great, and that's necessary, but we need you to not be a total pill to work with, right? Like, that's super important.
Because you spend so much time with your coworkers. Well, some of
even
us.
Just communicating like, with them can be such a chore if they have a different communication style than you. Which I imagine is probably very difficult when your communication style is ASL or...
Yeah.
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 There has to be, like, a lot of miscommunications.
For
being deaf or hard of hearing, I would think.
Yeah.
Like, working in offices and stuff like that.
Yes. Not necessarily miscommunication, but miscommunication. M-I-S-S-D-E.
Yeah.
miscommunication. So basically, I could be working at the computer, coding away, and somebody would be walking by telling the team something. And I'm tapping away, and I'm like, are you coming to the pub, no, pub afterwards? No? What? Huh? I missed something.
Yeah. They're all having a discussion, and then, like, at the end, you're just like, wait, was everybody talking over there?
Yeah. Exactly. So, and I guess I have to say, I'm very good at lip reading. And talking, obvious. But I have to be looking at you. And, people forget that. Mm-hmm. People forget because, you're so good at interacting with people that they think, oh, yeah, you got it. So
she's one of those deaf people who can hear.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
She's got a special ear in the back here or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's been the occasional, somebody tap her on the shoulder, please. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that then that until I'm actually looking at them. Every once in a while somebody will do that, but most of the time people just forget. Yeah. I mean, you don't act like a deaf person.
How does a deaf person act?
Huh?
Oh my god, that was good. Amazing comic timing on that one.
Yeah. The.
Oh man,
it's. I think we've talked about this before. Like you've got all of these coping strategies, just trying to like exist in a world where, like, yeah, people aren't paying attention to what your needs are, and so then they forget that they're there because you've spent so much of your life coping. Like, yeah, I don't know. That must be really
pain in the ass.
Yeah, super pain in the ass. Yeah, accommodate. Yeah, talk about accessibility. You're accommodating everybody else.
Yeah. Like we think about how can we accommodate people with disabilities, but we've been accommodating people. We've been accommodating the hearing world. I mean, I have to say, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for all the.
You're not a representative. We're not trying to make you the figurehead of every single deaf person.
Anything I talk about is my experience.
Yes.
Okay.
So in your experience, you've been accommodating a whole bunch, and they're like, oh, how can we make this more accessible for you? It's like, dude, I've been accommodating you for, like...
I can't even answer that question. I accommodate. I make adjustments. Like, I'd be sitting here. If you're sitting in front of a window, and it's extremely bright out there, what happened to you in the startup? We could say, can we switch, have a curtain closed.
Yeah, you asked me to close the curtain because otherwise the light was just shining and you couldn't even see my face at all.
Yeah, exactly. If in a classroom situation, I'm sitting in the front row. Or a speaker, whatever, I'm sitting in the front row. Meetings, I try to put myself... If it's a meeting room where everybody's sitting in a circle, that's great. I just make sure that I'm not facing someone in the window. Other scenarios. Cancers. concerts. I mean, I love music. I love going to concerts. And it used to be that I could afford to go to concerts and be down on the floor.
Good
but now
luck
it's
now.
Like, no, your average concert is like $90 for at least.
Yeah.
Oh, for that's so
the
expensive.
Blue note. Blue note. I go to local band, local band and everything. So, because it's usually in a smaller area, more intimate, and it's easier for me to follow. My favorite local band is Rawless. Rawless?
I don't know if I know them.
W-A-R-L-E-E-S.
No, I don't know them.
Wallace?
Wallace, yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of them.
Oh, they're great.
Okay. Cool.
Like.
No.
Okay.
I spell it out.
You spell it for me.
W-A-R-L-E-S-S.
Oh, Warless.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I haven't heard of that. I heard Wallace the first time. But no, what kind of music are they?
Funky.
Funky, okay.
Yeah.
So
you dance to it, no.
How do you experience live music then? Like, do you have any hearing? Or do you have any hearing? Or how do you experience
I have a hearing aid.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm profoundly deaf in the left ear and absolutely deaf in the right ear. I wear a hearing aid. And it helps. It helps. I have to read your lip and then the word makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, I do get noise.
Yeah, that, a lot of people tell me that.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people have said that about this podcast, in fact. But I'm just, because it's so hard to imagine what other people's experience of the world is, period. But, like, let alone when they have, like, a different complement of senses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm very curious about that. Like, is it the vibration that feels good?
All of your vibration, mostly vibration. So if you've got the bass, you've got the bass.
Mm-hmm.
You need a tight rhythm section. Yeah.
Yeah. And the sound. No, I can hear the sound just fine. Yeah, but a combination of vibration and sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can hear the beat. I can feel the beat. I can see the singer because, like I said, it's a smaller
venue. Yeah, when it's a smaller venue, you can just be, like, right up in there. And
yeah, exactly. So it's great,
You posted a thing today that was, like, all these different stereotypes sort of around deaf people, and you're like, if this is a bingo card, I would have won, a bunch of times. And one of them was just like, oh, I couldn't live without music. Like,
yeah.
Do you want me to pull it up?
We can post it with the write up when we post the episode.
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I can give you some. If this was bingo. Okay. The thing that hearing people have told me, they when somebody's in a group, then they're talking, and I say, Chris, what did they say? And Chris, you would say, not important. No, never mind, not important. Okay.
That would be so annoying.
Another one was, you don't look deaf, which we kind of talk about. I'll tell you later. That's another one. I'll tell you later. Never mind. See, when people do that, it might your editing with work being sad. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, if someone was just talking trash, and you really don't want to say, like, somebody saying a whole bunch of racist comments, and you really don't want to repeat that, that's fine. I can tell you later.
Yeah.
That's not one of the freebies for saying the N-word that white people want so badly, right? But if my deaf friend is standing next to me and some racist person said it, can I say it then? No!
Yeah, exactly.
That is the one time you don't say what's being said.
But, back in work situations and everything, it's not important.
You're
basically saying, I don't think you're important enough for me to repeat this.
Yeah, totally.
That can be taken that way. Mm-hmm. So you have to really think before you say that. Another one. I am told the way you are deaf. What? I'm not.
It's cool.
And the other one is, another one that's kind of related is, I'd rather be blind than deaf. Okay, no, up.
You don't get to pick.
I'd rather be blind and deaf. But no, I'd rather be deaf than being stupid.
It's not like you get a choice. Like, hey, what do you want?
Oh, my God.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. Can you drive? That was another one.
Yeah.
I could not live without music.
Yeah.
Don't have to.
Yeah. There's lots of ways to experience that.
Can you read lips? Yeah. I'm doing it just right now. oh, my God. You can read lips. What is he saying?
Oh, God.
Look at that thing. I used to play that game, but not anymore. No, I don't want to tell you what they said because it's kind of private.
Yeah, you're not like, oh, my spy friend who can like secretly read lips and tell me all the juicy dirt.
He said, look at that nosy bitch over there.
Yeah. But, you know, I would do something. Yeah. I'm in a nightclub with a friend, and my friend saying that guy's kind of cute. And I've been looking, and if the guy thing is like, you're kind of cute, I would say, you think you're cute? Go talk to him. That's it.
Being a good wingman.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly. You'll use it in the service of romance.
Yeah. And friendship. Yeah. But that's and solidarity.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Use your powers for good, not evil. It's very important. For great justice, forever. Yes.
Why don't you get a cochlear implant? That's a good question. Cochlear implant is basically you have an operation where you have this thing put into your inner ear, uh-huh. where the cochlear is, and then you have to wear an outer thing that connects to the ear. I've never had it done. I know people that have had it done, and they say the hearing is a lot more superior than a regular hearing aid.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's a personal choice. You know, some people want to do it, and some people don't.
Mm-hmm. Trying just a random person being like, nosy about it. That's the same as like asking anyone about any surgery that they've had, right? Where it's just like, well, if I want to get that done, then I will, and it's none of your fucking business.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, that's exactly. Usually a bad question to ask anyone is, have you had the surgery? In the circles in which I run, it's a very rude question.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't need to know about anybody's medical history.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're a doctor standing over their bleeding body at a given time, I think.
Yeah.
It's about the only time.
Yeah. So those are the kind of really, really funny questions. You get tired after a while.
People must say really stupid stuff to you sometimes.
Ignorant stuff. Yeah. I would say ignorant stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I mean, it's like, you're asking a stupid question because there's no such thing as a stupid question. Yeah, it just depends on how it's being asked.
Yeah, it's not a stupid question, but this is a stupid time to ask it. Or like, you can ask any question you want, but you also have to have tact.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, generally, most people when they ask questions like, can you read lips? It just depends on what. No, the contact is, no. Yeah. If it's a teacher, then can you read lips or do I need to, accommodate somehow?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a fair question.
That's legit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But can you drive? It's a stupid question. Really? I'm deaf, not blind.
Seriously. Although my dad used to tell me if I had the music up too loud, I'd get pulled over because the police say you have to hear to drive. I was like, that cannot possibly be true. Turns out he was just messing with me. So thanks, Dad. So for like a minute there, I thought maybe people who are deaf or hard of hearing weren't allowed to drive. But that was when I was like 17. Yeah. So I've learned. I've learned in the intervening time. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
I did have a question just around, like, ASL stuff, because I think that we talked about it where you're like, I was saying, oh, I'm excited because my friend is doing this queer ASL class, and it's so neat, and you're like, oh, I don't really know ASL
anymore. Oh, When I was 3 years old, I was diagnosed, I had a feeling, so, and then we went into pre-preschool, where I learned how to speak and read lips. And the sign that we get at the time was, the sign is that English, okay. Which is S-E-E. So that's the sign language I learned.
Oh, okay.
And back in the 70s and 80s, the prevailing attitude was about deaf education was that it was better to have the deaf children learn how to speak. And read lips. Mm-hmm. Because the feeling was that they could have a better life that way.
Right. Oh, that would make it easier or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that prevailing thought has been changed in the past couple decades.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, mm-hmm. So I was mainstream. That's what we call it, mainstream. So the preschool, I learned how to speak, I learned how to read lips, and when I got good enough, then I was put into a regular class, you know, so I had regular education.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the preschool where I interacted with other deaf people and went into mainstream school, the deaf classmates of mine had either been mainstream or put in special education classes. Or if they went to the deaf school in Vancouver, which at the time we called Jericho School for the Deaf. And so those all depend on what, you know, we think.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about Jericho School for the Deaf. I know that there were problems after the fact. So it made me kind of glad that I never went, you know. There were people that took advantage of their deafness.
Mm.
You know, there was death door abuse. There were, you know.
Oh, God.
That's yeah, there was them. There was a big case. There was a big case. And it got shut down, you know, that. And there were people that that got detriment from it. You know,
so, yeah, to have missed that is a good thing. But, like, to have missed that is good.
Yeah.
Obviously. But how did it feel to, you had sort of a class of kids that you were kind of all working together and then you're kind of all separated.
Yeah.
And then was it isolating then to be in whatever mainstreamed,
a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did have a best friend
yeah.
That was deaf as well, and she was mainstreamed as well, but we just worked together at school, but we lived in the same neighborhood, so we hung out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we managed to keep our sign language. We were never discouraged from sign language when we interacted with each other. So it was just my mother knew some sign language, finger spelling, and my brother knew some finger spelling at the time. So it was never discouraged.
Yeah.
You know. So, but we were definitely encouraged to speak.
Yeah.
And to read lip more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now when I don't know so many people in the deaf community, so I'm only talking to get to know meet people. I want to take the queer AS up, but it's always full. So yeah.
It's a really popular class.
It's a very popular program. When I think I would sign up for the next intake, I'm not going to be in town.
Oh.
So timing ever worse. But I have met a few other deaf people here just recently. I went to Eternal Tide a couple of weeks ago with the Perth Festival.
Oh, the Push Festival, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I got tickets for into Eternal Tide, and that was provided to us from Kids Art Disability Art and Culture.
Okay.
They get free tickets every once in a while, and they just offered to.
If you're on their mailing list or something, yeah. You can get offered free tickets.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, so it's a nice book. But anyway, so I sat down at the, and the person next to me was deaf also. But he was talking to you, and when I got there, he was sitting in my seat. I took him in my seat. So we started off talking to each other, early. And then we figured that his seat was actually right next to mine. So he moved over, and he said, "I'm so sorry." And then I said, "No, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a mistake." And then when we sat down, then he had his phone, and he was signing to his friend. And I'm like,
he was signing to his phone?
So I asked him, "Are you deaf?" And he said, "No, I'm hard of hearing."
Okay.
And then we started dying. So it was kind of really cool, meeting someone. And it's like, even though my ASL is not that great, I can still understand people.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been great in correcting me quickly. So if I'm staying next week in C, someone's going to go over to C. It's like this.
Yeah, you're learning a whole new language on top of next week.
Next week.
That's really cool. That makes sense. Yeah. Like, cause it's a calendar, and it's next.
So you're holding the calendar, and you're going next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's neat. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
But the old sign language, the C sign language, was next week.
Yeah. Okay. So
but that makes sense to me, too, because next week, and I can sort of see it.
But it seems like the ASL like really is like streamlined a lot of stuff, and it's a lot more like gestures, and I've learned from my friend who was taking the class like a lot of facial grammar, which I think is really like really
the
fun.
The syntax includes facial expression. So like it's kind of based on English, but the sign language stuff, it originally the French sign language, because that's where they got the root from.
From French sign language?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was the French that brought the sign language over to North America.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And that's why if you go to Quebec and you meet someone, a deaf person, and they're signing, you're likely to understand what they're saying if you know where you're at, because there's a lot of similarities. But I find that if I'm not mouthing, I say sign. I understand them. Like if they start mouthing, I say sign, I'm confused.
Sorry, I can't understand your accent.
Yeah, I'm confused because it's like, I understand what you're saying, but you're not saying what I think you're saying.
I would never even consider that, of course, because why would I? But that's so fascinating.
Yeah.
They would mess you up if they started mouthing along with it.
Kind of like, Top Target, for example, you go to a movie in Paris, and the person original, which means English with French subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you watch the movie, you're reading the subtitles, but at the same time, your brain kind of messed up because it's like, I'm reading in French, but I'm understanding everything they're saying. How is that possible? Oh, right.
Because I'm a genius.
Oh, my God, that's good.
Yeah, so I thought that would be cool.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That I get
the movies was great.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, Vancouver, when we go to a movie, if you watch Dab Tiger, you can ask for this device that you put in the cup holder, and then you adjust, because it's got this really telescopic arm.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so stiff. So you go like this.
Yes.
Okay, finally. And then you're trying to adjust it so that it's not in the way of a movie. So you want it just down a little bit. But you're going to run it too low, so you're going like this. You look up at the movie and look down in your lap. So it's like really frustrating, and so you have to adjust it. And then you have to get the right target for the right movie. And you hope that they turn it on.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Sometimes they forget.
What a nightmare.
Sometimes they forget.
So like, well, I guess I'm not going to know anything that's happening.
But I have to get up and go and say, hey, you need to turn on the dump tigers. The radio for the dump tigers.
Can you turn up the subtitles, please?
Katie made a motion of winding up her middle finger.
Turn it up, please.
And, I just only found out that in the UK, you can, there are some Disney masks that actually show subtitles, like actual subtitled film. Mm. And but that's at the discretion of the theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd almost be cool if you could get, like, 3D glasses, like, you know how they have the movies? Yeah. But then if you could get a special thing that put the subtitles, like, in your glasses, too, or something, so that it was, like, always at the right spot wherever you were looking.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's going to be some kind of cool technological advances.
Just beam the words directly into your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Kinda.
I don't actually... No, I do have one friend who no longer lives in Vancouver who is hard of hearing, but it was only like a 70% hearing loss, so he could mostly pick up what I was saying. But apart from that, I know a lot of people who have auditory processing disorders, so they can hear, they can't make sense of what you're saying, so they tend to find written words to be a lot easier to understand. Yeah. So I know a lot of people who like to watch movies with the captions on. I'm a really fast reader, so it would bother me at first, and then I realized, well, first of all, I'm being an asshole, and secondly, I can actually sort of finally turn my brain off, so it's like, it's almost like it's shuttered, like I can't quite see what's happening, but it's so it really helps you understand what's going on with the movie. Yeah. I no longer have to be like, who's that guy? Yeah.
And it's like, in the States, they have that same app in the States, there's some theaters that will have, they okay, this time slot will have the casting turned on.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
And it's up to you. If it really bothers you, don't go that time.
Yeah, fair enough.
If it really bothers you, go fuck yourself, pretty much.
Go
die mad about it.
So I'm thinking, why can't we do that here? Why can't we do that?
Yeah. It would be pretty easy.
Yeah, I see, like, the closed caption symbols on a movie, like, when they advertise it, but is it only that it's like, oh, those devices are available? Mm-hmm. That's what it means? That's not, sheesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So maybe that's something I can look into. Mm-hmm. Talk to the theater and say, look, some theaters can do that. Is there a reason why? Mm-hmm. What can we do to make that possible here? You know? So that's something I'd like to look into.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see the Black Panther with subtitles.
Yeah.
I mean, I only go see the movie once, you know, without subtitles and everything, and then I wait for it to come on Netflix or, you know, and Apple or something, and then I just rent it with the captain down.
And then it's like you're seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, acting movies are so much easier.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because there's a lot of acting, you know. But for serious talking movies, I act for the device.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise I'm not going to follow it.
The Shape of Water would be difficult. Was that one?
I haven't seen that
talking?
Yet.
There's no talk. There's very little talking in it.
Oh, okay. Because the main character is...
She's mute. She's not deaf. Okay. There's a lot of ASL and there's some captions. It's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
Really loved it.
Yeah.
Really, really loved it.
Yeah, I'm going to see that. I'm going to see that, though.
Are you going to talk about the tweet?
No, I just love all the jokes about The Shape of Water because there's, like, she fucks a fish guy, I guess. And so I read a tweet that said someone called it Grinding Nemo.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking, was this is about Grinding Nemo.
I thought you meant my tweet where
no.
My yoga teacher got us into a supported fish pose. And I was like, The Shape of Water.
You're a dork. I love you.
Yes, I am a dork. We're always communicating on Twitter, I think, or like following, liking each other's posts a lot. It's very fun.
Yeah.
So many good jokes.
Yeah.
It's like, I know Twitter is bad for my mental health, but I'm so bored.
I'm so bored all the time. I need it. I need it so people know how mad at the train I am. Mm-hmm. I need it so that everybody can know how angry I am with the train at all times.
Yeah.
I'm always mad at the SkyTrain. You stupid train. I hate it so much. No, I love it. It's very important. Anyway.
Well, we're at an hour.
Holy crap! What's
that?
Yeah. It's a very, a quick hour goes by.
Yeah.
Are there things that you want to plug, promote? You've got an awesome website where people can find out about your art.
Yeah.
Anything?
Well, I've got a website, which is LoriLandry.com.
Mm-hmm.
I also have Instagram, which I tend to post more on Instagram.
Okay.
The website, I just need time to put everything up.
Mm-hmm.
But Instagram is more instant. So,
it's in the name.
Instagram is at Laurie Artis. Don't worry. But no, there's Facebook.
Like so?
Yep.
Perfect.
Nice. And what are you working on? Any.
Okay, I'm working on a new series right now for the show that I'm having in the summer, June, in Wales.
Nice.
In Wales?
Wales.
Oh, in Wales, BC. That's not quite as exciting.
Oh, it's exciting.
No, it's still very exciting. Wales is beautiful.
They take art and culture quite seriously, though.
No, they absolutely do. They absolutely do. There's really, really cool art working there.
And it is my hometown, too.
Yeah. I'm just going to put my foot in my mouth.
My mom lives there. So,
sorry, Laurie's mom.
I am really looking forward to have my solo there. It's my first solo there.
Oh, cool. Congratulations. Yeah.
So, but anyway, the series is it's called Deafies.
Deafies?
Yeah. No, Duffies. So one of the first thing that I wrote down was a staff portrait. So I guess you could call it a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, why not? We call it selfies. Because I've got a couple of other people lined up to do portraits with, and I'm hoping to find more people. They have to be deaf or have a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. To do portraits. And then I'm back five of them. And then the other five paintings that I'm working on is hand signed.
Nice.
So I just finished one today. It was called Culture. Which is for deaf culture, So
you've got the sign for culture, and then you painted that, and it's in the really, I saw the most updated picture, and that beautiful color of blue is what's all on your hands right now. So.
Yeah, pressing blue.
Yes.
Pressing blue is one of the more permanent colors. It will take days for it to come out. I had a pressing blue on my face one time, and nobody said a word. I went grocery shopping. And
well, that you hurt anyway.
And I've got the big blue mark on my cheek. Why do people not say anything? They look at you, funny, but they don't say anything.
Mm. I still want to cramp your style. It's like, you know, that lady's in her blue period.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, art, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here, Laurie. This is a really great opportunity to get to talk to you.
Yeah.
Even if you can't listen to it, we are going to transcribe it, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do listen to podcasts because you asked me for recommendations for our show.
Yeah, I did. I listen to. Man, you guys laugh a lot.
Heaven forbid.
No, that's great.
It's a silly Billy podcast.
I was listening to the other guy. I can't remember who it is. I can't remember what it's like about 5 episodes ago.
Okay.
5 or 6 episodes ago. In August as well.
For our show?
Yeah.
Oh. A guy who is an artist.
Who do we have? It was
just like.
I don't know what kind of artist.
Yeah.
Could be a musician for all I know.
Was it Steve?
Yeah.
Steve Letts? My super gay comedy friend.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
We were laughing a lot that day, but he is a very funny guy, so can't help myself. What do we have?
Yeah.
So we've got Wells coming up in that episode, too, but it was a different kind of Wells. It wasn't Wells, BC. It was actually, like, Wishing Wells.
Yeah. Wagga Wells, yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of Tina Turner references in this notebook already.
Excellent. I mean, that's how we know we're on the right path. Okay. Of this podcast. Lots of Tina Turner.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I mean, if you can try and drop it, that's great.
Yeah, I'm going to try. So this episode is going to come out on February 27th.
Okay.
So I've still got some time to do the transcription. And I'm a very fast typer. So it should be fun. I haven't done transcription since I was in doing my master's. And I had to interview a whole bunch of people. And then we're transcribing all of this stuff. And it's really hard.
Yeah,
it takes a long time.
When I put out videos on YouTube, I tried to put the casting down.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a while to figure out the casting. But, you know, finally I got, oh, okay, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is cool. I can do this. But then apparently you're supposed to turn on something for descriptive.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there are blind people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I'm on Facebook, theater. It was fantastic for me because it's like I can follow people and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when Facebook started allowing videos, then people started to post videos of themselves talking, you know, rather than just post anything. And I'm like, and then I remember, you know, complaining about it. I'm like, people are now using videos. This is not going to work for me. And then someone pointed out that it would work for blind people.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, into personality.
Got a point. But now so many of the videos have captions, and that's like I work in.
Well, not all of them.
Not all of them. It's a big thing. Like I do a lot of like digital media stuff for work, and having captions on all of our videos is so important, obviously, for like accessibility. And but then it's like the cynical thing is too, it's really good for advertising stuff because people don't often have the sound on their phone anyway. When a video starts autoplaying, if it doesn't have captions on, I usually just scroll right past it at this point.
And another thing about captioning video, like whether it's, you know, the deaf or if it's just captioning different languages, it increases viewer rate. You know, so I remember a friend of mine who's a social media marketer, she was just saying, trying to figure out if it's worth getting her video captioned. You know, like, she was talking about monetary worth. You know, and I'm like, I replied to her, does it have to be a qualitative? Like, does it have to be qualitative?
Yeah, like, just, is it going to get you more money? It's like, why don't you just do it for the sake of doing it, because you know that it's going to be helpful for people.
Like, think about the quantitative. No, I mean, sorry, that there have to be a quantitative, you know,
issue. Think about the quality.
Like, I think you should measure in a qualitative manner, because if you're doing it for a company, if you're doing it for your company, you want your company to be inclusive. That has more value than any quantitative number can come up with.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah, when you actually show what the values are that you have in your your mission statement and your values and your blah, blah, blah. But it's true, that's like, and that means a lot more.
Okay. We're all learning.
I like it. Okay. I've learned how to do like SRT files and like figure all that stuff out. So now I caption all the stuff that I put out.
I didn't even know. I mean, YouTube has a community where if you submit your video and then you want to submit it to the community, they will take the time to actually transcribe or do subtitle.
That's cool.
In whatever language. Well, not the English subtitle, but French, German,
Cool. Yeah, I imagine too, like, subtitles in general, like, in even if they're in English for an English video, if someone's English isn't their first language, having the subtitles would be really helpful too to like follow along a little bit clearer. And it's just good. Just do it.
Just do it, guys.
Nice. Katie, do you have anything that you're doing at the end of the month that you can plug?
No, I'll be leaving this country for 2 weeks pretty much right after this
get the fuck out.
So I don't know if you listen to this and you're in England, hit me up, I guess, but don't like try to find me. That would be terrifying. Just message me like a normal person.
Great.
Cool.
Okay. We'll see everybody next week here on the Sea Hags podcast.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Bye.
Cheers.